member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th of April, Anno Domini 2013. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. And you'll
notice...
Because
this is a jazz station.
Because this is a jazz station.
But we also play blues.
We do play the
blues. Just saying.
Crap, I got another one.
Just saying.
I've been dealing with knots all morning, and I got another one in my headphones.
Yes, I want to... We noticed that Dave Enright, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest. On the other hand, we have Rob Linton back in the house again.
It has been a long time since I've been on this side of things. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Usually I just sit in the office, drink coffee, and tell you what to do.
Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying? Put your feet up on the desk, and now you're actually standing and having to work.
It's good to be back. I like this.
It's great to be back. We like this, too.
Awesome.
We like this, too. And you can give us a call. And you know, there are two reasons to give us a call. Three reasons, actually, because nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. One is to just hear the mellifluous tones of Rob Linton on the air. That's always a good reason. And, of course, to ask your computer questions. But also, we are in the midst of a pledge drive. We don't bring you commercials on the air. We don't take 40 minutes out of every hour to bring you suppositories and things that we don't sell those things.
What radio station do you listen to?
But you have no idea.
You must have missed the sponsor about the colonoscopy a little earlier.
Yeah, that's a little different thing.
Yeah.
But we do ask that twice a year. We come and ask you to reach deep into your hearts and shallowly into your pockets and donate to keep this show and this station on the air. Rob has generously given us a home, and we would like to show our appreciation. We would prefer to be on the air rather than off the air, and this is the way that happens. So give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can also call toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, of course. Because we're a technology show, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
One of the things, too, that we hear from people a lot is them saying, you know, hey, thank you so much for bringing Soundbites to Jazz 90.1. We appreciate it. You know, how can we help? But we let people know, you know, this is how it works. You know, we're listener-supported. We rely on donations. And just think about what your Saturday afternoon would be like without Soundbites.
It would sound like this.
That's right. Exactly. Silent radio.
And we hear it all the time. People stop us all the time and say, oh, we love your show. We're delighted that you're on the air. It's great to hear you. And I say, this is how you deal with that. You join the family. That's become part of the family. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Oh, and those of you who are listening to the podcast, don't forget you can pledge all week long just in the comments section at the bottom of the pledge form. Say it's for Soundbites.
Well, one of the things I'm thinking about, too, you know, we got about 80 people listening on our web stream. You've got other streams and other sources folks can tune into as well. You know, that costs money as well. Our web stream is quite a cost to the radio station. But we do it because a lot of people from around the country want to tune into the great music and the shows like Soundbites and things like that. But that costs money, too. And we need help paying those bills. You know what I'm saying? So if you're one of the folks that listens online, listens to the delayed broadcast on soundbites.org. We need your help as well. 966-JAZZ, 966-5299 to pledge.
That's exactly right. And while you're doing that, I will read a news item for the day. Hey, for years, many a music fan has wondered, can I resell my MP3s. After all, nearly all digital goods sales are really licenses rather than sales, as conventionally understood. The question here is, can such a license be bought and sold to other users? Because that's right, you don't own the music or videos you buy digitally. You only own a license to play them. On Saturday, last Saturday, a federal court in New York ruled in summary judgment within the case of Capitol Records versus Redigi. The court decided that no, users do not have the right to resell digital music files, as doing so violates existing copyright law. Redigi, the judge found, is also liable for secondary copyright infringement and likely will have to pay damages. The judge wrote, "Courts have consistently held that the unauthorized duplication of digital music files over the Internet infringes a copyright owner's exclusive right to reproduce. See, e.g., A&M Records, Inc. versus Napster, Inc. However, courts have not previously addressed whether unauthorized transfer of a digital music file over the Internet, where only one file exists before and after the transfer, constitutes reproduction within the meaning of the Copyright Act. The court holds that it does." Last year, the judge in the case, Richard Sullivan, denied a motion that would have shuttered Redigi. The company has not indicated whether it plans to appeal the decision. Redigi argued that it was protected both by fair use and by the first sale doctrine, which allows for a good to be resold. So if you buy, for example, a chair, you have the right to resell that at, for example, a garage sale. If you buy an album, you have the right to resell that at a garage sale.
And the music industry and then also the book industry, when you buy a book, right, have been fighting that for years. Because if you resell an album or you resell a book, you're not paying the publisher right any more money. And so the book industry has been trying to stop that, too.
Right. Well, and this is the interesting thing. I have a friend who is a well-known author. He has published half a dozen very well-received books. And he is now moving to selling digitally because we were talking and he said, I said, well, you know, I know about selling digitally. You get about 70% of the sale as a royalty.
And quite often the author sets the price, not the publisher or the store.
Right, right, right. So I said, what, you know, how does that compare to a book? He said, well, if I sell it digitally, I get 70% of what I sell it for, let's say $2.99.
Right.
And I get paid at the end of the month. If I sell it as a paperback, if I go through a publisher and they sell it as a paperback, I get 40 cents per paperback, and it takes a year to get my money.
Yep.
Holy mother of pearl. Seriously. All right, so our question to you is, did you think you owned your music and movies? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like James did from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's up?
Hello, I have a question. On the bottom of my Internet Explorer, it says Internet Explorer has modified this site to help prevent cross-site scripting. What is that?
Cross-site scripting is this thing that happens too often nowadays. As you go to a website, you end up with people, an ad or some sort of picture or a video off on the side. You see them everywhere nowadays. What can happen is somebody will have that ad, and in it is a Trojan horse, a virus that gets activated because it's JavaScript or whatever, and then comes to your computer. And what most of the browsers are doing nowadays is preventing that from happening. If a script that is not on the site you're going to tries to run,
which an ad generally is, the ad comes from another site.
Right. So if I go to, for example, soundbites.org, oh, and by the way, I'm in the process of putting all of that stuff back up. You'll see holding pages up now. I am working on it.
Bonus points for naming the people.
Yeah. but basically the deal is that, for example, if you went to Soundbites and I had a script running there, Internet Explorer would let it run because it's a script on that page.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had ads on the side and there were a script in that ad, it would be coming from another site, and Internet Explorer would stop it from running. In fact, Chrome does it, Firefox does it, Safari does it. But what Chrome, what Explorer does is actually put up the little message that says, I did this.
Okay, it's good then.
It is a good thing. It is not a bad thing at all, but if you don't know what it means, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, all right. So just no problem.
No problem at all.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
There is a way to turn off that option in Internet Explorer. I don't know why you would want to. Oh, and well, what has happened is that the bad guys have usurped another useful tool that
right.
A lot of websites used to do cross-site scripting. If you know a company had several sites, they could bring data from several of them. But then the bad guys started doing it, and so now most legitimate companies don't do cross-site scripting because the bad guys have taken over and screwed it up for all the rest of the good guys. So it's very, very annoying.
Right. And yeah, we're seeing that a lot nowadays, the whole cross-site scripting business. It's huge because it's easy to put an ad out into right. the, you know, there's like 7,000 ad networks, and it's easy to put one out there with a special with a new type of cross-site scripting thing, so that you know places like Google have their own, they scrub them themselves. But if it's a new one, nobody's. It's the same with a virus. When a new one comes out, it takes a while to start catching it. And the same thing is true with the cross-site scripts. And so you'll see them fairly regularly. But having a modern browser means you've got the opportunity, at least, to block it. And so when you see that message, it's a good thing. And as Steve says, you can turn it off. So that you don't even see it anymore, but you know it's still working in the background. I'm also delighted to say that I think my Minders is working correctly now.
I didn't get mine.
You didn't?
No.
Son of a blop. All right, maybe not.
I got mine today. A little reminder.
A little reminder?
Quarter That's nice. Up. It's, you know, it's a good thing to have because people forget the show. They can tune in and go to website, you know, things like that.
That's exactly right.
Of course, we need the reminder earlier because 15 minutes isn't enough notice for us to get.
Well, yeah,
to the
you can't jump into the station.
There is certainly that. Yeah.
Although after 25 years, we should remember we're doing this.
23. It's only 23.
23 years you've been
up.
On here.
Yeah, 23 years and change. We're coming up on our 24th anniversary.
You don't look a day above 20.
September. Thank you. I feel only as young as I look, or look as young as I something. I don't know.
We need the phones to ring, sir.
We do need the phones. People, please. We would love to finish out this pledge drive. We can do it. We have enough listeners. If every single one of the people calling in just pledge $10, it's all we need. Now, certainly you can pledge more. You can pledge. There's amounts you can pledge, and you get amazing gifts if you pledge at those amounts.
Well, and we have the Soundbite shirts. We have the polo, the Soundbites t-shirts. Those are always very popular as well. We've got some great stuff on the jazz side. But even if you don't want a gift, if you want to claim the entire, you know, donation on your taxes, you can do that as well. But the first thing it takes is people to call into that pledge.
I am telling you right now, if you pledge $500, Rob Linton will cut your lawn one time this summer.
I will.
For $1,000, I'll come along and cheer him on. Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's
can
nine.
You imagine that? They'll be like, isn't that Nick Francesco sitting under a tree in a lawn chair sipping iced tea watching Rob Linton do all the work?
All right, I'm going to tell you.
They'll be like, what is this, Jazz 90.1?
Listen, one time I was mowing my lawn. This is back when I had two good knees. I was mowing my lawn and doing some lawn work outside, and it was late fall, and so I had a pair of overalls on, like an engineer on a
train.
And this woman comes down the street, and she says, "Do you do lawns?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm doing this lawn." She said, "I'll give you X dollars. I forget how much it was to cut my grass when you're done." I said, okay. So when I was done with mine, I went down and I cut hers. And when I was finished, this guy comes out because it was an apartment building.
Right.
This guy comes out and says, what are you doing? I said, this lady paid me to cut the lawn. She said, that's Nick Francesco. What are you making him? He lives down the street. He's your neighbor.
Lady said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought, because I was dressed like, you know, right. I was dressed.
Mr. Green Jeans. I have trouble these kids these days.
Kids these days.
I can't find, well, yeah, I can't
this
find.
This is how any, you know you're old.
I know. I can't find any kids to mow the lawn and shovel the sidewalk. So we had to hire a service. Because there's no kid. No, kids don't do that anymore.
I know, they don't.
Especially my kid.
So listen, we need you to give us a call. We need to finish this pledge drive out. And the way we do it is for you to make the call. It's all on you. It's all on you. Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
You know, I've heard you guys talk about before, actually, a very good point about the fact that it's like, okay, what if you had to call one of the large computer companies with a tech question? How much would you have to pay for that phone call?
$35 minimum.
Is that what it is? Yeah. And then on, you know, obviously that's usually not going to cover the problem. Think about all the free computer help. If you were to put a value on the amount of free assistance that you give out over the air every week, I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars in a given year. Yeah. And we do that for free. You guys come in, you volunteer your time every Saturday afternoon.
Wait, we're volunteering?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. And you volunteer your time, and you come in, and you want to help people. And actually, we just got an internet pledge. Let me make sure that it is okay. We can thank David from SOTUS for his pledge of support. Thank you very much to David.
Yay, David. Thank you so much.
So he did his part. Now we need all the other listeners listening right now to do your part as well. No matter what your budget allows, whether it's a $50, $100 pledge, $20 pledge, whatever, or on up, whatever you can afford, we need your help.
I tell people, add up the amount of hardware you've bought and software you've bought over the years, and the stuff that you need help with now, send 1%. Call in 1%.
I like that. That's a good figure.
We're not even asking for, you know, agent fees of 20%. We're asking for 1%. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour, and for some reason, you continue to listen to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz
90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And we do want to thank David from SOTUS for his generous pledge. We're thrilled and delighted. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we'd like it to be over. And the way we make it over is for you to give us a call. The number's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And we would be more than delighted and honored to take your pledge, just like we took Barbara's.
Do you know who that person is?
I know exactly who this person is. I do know who this is. Thank you so much, Barbara. Very, very generous. We appreciate your support. This is the sort of thing we need. We need you to give us a call. Give us a call right now. Make that pledge, and we will then happily remain on the air every Saturday, whether we want to be rain or shine, and bring you more computer stuff.
One of the things that's interesting is the number one reason that people don't give to public radio stations that are listeners, okay, is because they think that somebody else is going to take care of it for them. They'll be like, you know what, they'll eventually hit their goal. You know, they don't need my pledge. The problem is everybody thinks that we don't ever reach our pledge or, you know, our goal. And that's right. Where we need folks to step forward and pledge their support at whatever level is comfortable for your budget. And again, you know, if you can only swing a $20, $30, $40, $50 pledge or whatever, every dollar raised helps keep this program and the station on the air.
That's right. We've had pledges in the $10 range. We've had pledges in the $15 range. We love those pledges because we know that these are parlous economic times, and we know that these people have reached deep into their pockets to help keep us and this station on the air. We don't get any federal dollars. We don't get state dollars. We don't get county dollars. We don't get any dollars. We are truly, when we say member supported, we ain't kidding. We get our membership dollars from membership people.
Well, and a lot of things that people don't understand about larger public radio stations, they'll get, you know, Corporation for Public Broadcasting money. They'll get these huge grants of tens of thousands of dollars. We don't. We are totally funded by listener support and a few business underwriters as well, and that's it.
That's it.
We don't get any money from the school district or anything like that, so we need your help. If you're a fan of Soundbites or any of the other programs, please call in with your pledge, 966-5299.
Toll-free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you're doing that, I'll read another news story so you have plenty of time to do it. Come on, you can do it in under 2 minutes, for Pete's sake. You can't even make a cup of coffee in that amount of time. Not even with those new put-it-in-the-landfill things that they have. Apple's application for the iPad mini trademark must be more descriptive if the United States Patent and Trademark Office USPTO, is going to approve it. A document from the USPTO surfaced online this week indicating that the office was unlikely to give Apple a trademark based on its initial description. Although some have interpreted the letter as an outright rejection, the USPTO's response offers Apple options for modifying its application as long as it offers a disclaimer on Mini. The USPTO's letter to Apple is dated January 24th, but it was only just made public. In it, the organization notes that while iPad is descriptive when applied to Apple's goods, the I because it's understood by the public to refer to the Internet, while pad is connected with tablet computers. Mini, on the other hand, is the word that the USPTO takes issue with. Because mini is usually applied to something that's just smaller than usual, the USPTO considers the word merely descriptive and doesn't want to award Apple exclusive use as part of the trademark. Because of the problem with Mini, the USPTO is hesitant to move forward since the trademark could easily be confused with Apple's other existing trademark for iPad. That said, Apple now has the option to amend its application to include a disclaimer on the word Mini and to explain why it needs a separate trademark for iPad Mini in addition to iPad. Apple was given a six-month deadline from the original letter to submit a modified application, meaning it now has until July 24th to rework and resubmit. So do you think Apple should get a patent on the word mini? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. What they're essentially saying is that iPad is a trademarkable thing. iPad mini just means small iPad. No trademark there.
They want to trademark the word mini?
Yes.
In general, just mini.
They want to trademark iPad mini.
Yeah.
But the word mini is descriptive, not trademarkable.
Right.
So the USPTO asked Apple to clarify and resubmit.
Okay, so it wouldn't affect somebody that had mini in the name of another product then.
Like Mini Cooper.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have a trademark on the word mini? Probably not, but on Mini Cooper they
Together
may.
Together they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what the USPTO has to decide.
But it's because it's not a Cooper Mini. It's a Mini Cooper.
Well, that just means it's a small Cooper.
No.
According to this ruling from USPTO.
No, what they're saying is that iPad is a trademark,
right, yeah.
And iPad Mini just is a modifier of iPad.
So if Apple renamed it Mini iPad.
Yes, that might work.
Well, it's just like back in the day when Facebook wanted to do everything, wanted to trademark everything with book.
With book in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even,
you know.
Yeah, even before that, I remember some of the early days, McDonald's has trademarked a lot of things with Mac, because they have Big Mac. Even though it's McDonald's, they trademarked Big Mac.
Right.
And they tried to sue Apple for all the Macintosh that we, because we're lazy, we start calling Mac.
Right.
Yeah. And that didn't work out. Well, because that's a completely different area. So a Mac relating to food is different than Mac relating to apples. In fact, then the Macintosh raincoat, the Macintosh apple. So it's
right.
It's a mess in the patent and trademark office.
Well, and also now I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on television anymore. But I'm given to understand that it also depends a lot on other things. So, for example, if my last name were McDonald's, and I wanted to open a dry cleaner, I could certainly call it McDonald's dry cleaner.
But if you wanted to open a restaurant, that would be tricky.
I can't call it McDonald's.
Yeah.
I can't.
What was that movie? Oh, Coming to America. It was
McDowell's.
McDowell's,
yes.
McDougal's or something
great
like that.
Movie.
And his manual, the manual that he had, he scratched off the yellow M and put on a different M. Yeah.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport, New York. Hi, Sal, what's up?
Hey, Nick. Yeah, about this topic. They already have iPod Mini. I think you guys are talking about it, and Mac Mini. So I don't get the,
That's
the
a good point.
Continuity in their decision making on what's allowed, because they're not patenting the Mini term.
But I don't think iPod Mini is a trademark.
It probably was back when the iPod Mini was around and the Mac Mini.
Right.
But that was a different set of people at the USPTO.
Right, and that's part of the deal. It's
different day of the week, right? Yeah.
Right. You know, you see it yourself all the time. You call somebody and ask them a question. You call back 10 minutes later, get a different person, get a different answer.
Yeah, exactly. I think these guys are splitting hairs a little too much, and maybe they just need to back off and look back at the history and see what they did before.
Right. I don't actually have a problem with that. If you want to call it the iPad Mini and trademark that as a name, not trademarking the name Mini, but the phrase iPad Mini.
Yeah, I don't think they're trademarking Mini. I think they're trademarking iPad Mini.
I think so. But apparently this judge didn't quite get it. Do you know, we don't have tech-savvy judges. We just don't.
We don't have tech-savvy politicians, judges, or many other areas.
That's exactly right.
The decisions on tech all the time.
Yeah, it's really a fairly terrible thing. And the only way we can fix it is to hire us to be judges.
Good idea. Well, you know, you become a politician, you become an instant expert in anything and everything, apparently.
Yes, it's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Ridiculous.
I would never become a politician. There are many. I personally know a number of politicians who are upstanding, upright, good human beings, but I'm sure they're in the vast minority.
Some others, you get near them and you got to shower about three times.
At least that's the impression we all get. It's true.
All right.
It's true. All right. Thank you, Sal.
It's kind of interesting. I'm searching the database at the trademark office, and I searched for Mac Mini because that is still a currently selling product from Apple. The iPod Mini has been long discontinued. But there are 14 records for Mini Mac and one for Mac Mini that isn't Apple, and it says it's a dead trademark.
And it's Mac Mini computer.
Right, Mac Mini computer, not Mac Mini.
Right.
So...
Mac Mini may not be a trademarked name.
Or they licensed it from this guy. But
but if that's defunct...
Right, this trademark was filed in 1980, and the Mac Mini came out long after that.
Yeah.
So maybe Apple doesn't have a trademark on the Mac Mini product name.
And may not care.
Yeah.
So why... Because
if someone else comes out with a product called Mac Mini, Apple's going to want to defend their trademark. But if it's not trademarked, they can't defend
they can't
it. So hopefully Apple's realizing this and checking on their other trademarks.
Well, and that's the other part of the problem. When a company becomes that big, the left hand truly knoweth not what the right hand is doing, and you end up with that kind of mess all over the place.
Yep. They do an advanced search.
Oh, an advanced search.
I can put in Boolean operators.
Nice. We can, and this is the kind of thing you don't find out other places. You can actually go online to the United States Patent and Trademark Office and do a search on trademarks.
So if you're thinking of coming up with a new product, you need to make sure no one else is using that name. See, it's the trademark name and the URL, so which are two different databases.
Right.
So when you're trying to think of a company name, you have to just put together random letters and numbers and hope no one else has already taken it.
And that's becoming more of a problem, and it's less of a problem in patenting and trademark because things go out of patent and out of trademark.
Yeah.
But on the web, once you own, as long as you keep paying that $10 a year, whatever it is, you can keep that URL forever. And URLs, there's only going to be one, soundbites.org. You know, and that's the way it is. There's a soundbites.com, bites
with an
I.
Who owns that? Do you own that, or does the domain server.
Soundbites.org?
Yeah.
I own that.
You bought it.
It's registered to my name.
Okay. So you could sell it theoretically.
I could sell it theoretically.
Okay.
I have somebody who's constantly offering to buy AskNick.com.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to sell.
Nickelodeon. They might put comments in it.
When I first bought, the first domain I bought was NickF.com, and I wanted to buy Nick.com. I missed it by one day.
Oh, no.
Had I been one day earlier, Nickelodeon would have had to buy it from me.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? One day earlier. Doggone it, doggone it. But that's the thing, because I am Nick. They could not say I was infringing their trademark.
Right.
Because that was a big thing for a long time, and we called it cyber squatting. People would trademark or get domain names for anything they could think of, hoping someone would come along and want it. Let me switch to my camera so I don't see you drink.
Right.
Water, that's
coffee.
That's
or water.
It is not, in fact, vodka.
That is a clear fluid. people would register pretty much any name they could think of to hope someone would have to pay them. I remember when Exxon and Mobil were merging, every combination of Exxon and Mobil and Mobil and Exxon was trademarked, hoping they could do it. Really scary thing happened to me once. I was at a customer site talking something about this, and so I typed in, you know, StephenRay.com, and it said this domain for sale, because there's a famous actor who spells it the same way. When I got home, in my personal email, I had a letter from the domain. Hey, do you want to buy this domain?
Wow. They must have sent it to every Steve Ray.
They could find. That was weird. But then going back to the first news story about selling your music again, digital music that you buy, that came up a couple of months ago. Willing. Willing your music. When you die, what happens to your digital music collection?
Right.
And that still hasn't sort of been sorted out yet either. You're not reselling it, but can you bequeath your music collection?
On CD, I believe.
Yes,
because you're
allowed
to make one copy.
Right. Well, but you have physical discs. You can physically give the
song. And there's right of first sale.
Yep.
Yeah. But your digital music, in technicality, all you have to do is give your password to whoever you want to have.
You're talking about like an iTunes library,
right? Your iTunes library, your Amazon Music, you know, things that you've bought digitally. What happens when you die?
But that music is then on the computer. So it belongs to anybody, well, not theoretically.
No, because you've licensed it.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You don't own that MP3. You've licensed the right to listen to it, and you cannot pass that license along to someone else.
But as part of that, though, you get to make one copy of that music, correct?
Copyright law has a backup copy built into it.
Yeah.
The DRM says you can't break copy protection to make a backup copy. Fortunately, now most music sold doesn't have copy protection in it. It's still DRM'd, but it's not copy protected. But digital movies are all still DRM'd and copy protected.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, we hear from folks all the time who end up willing their music and their vinyl collection to this radio station, or the family will say, you know, they had all these records, all these CDs, do you guys want them? And we don't ever really have to worry about the licensing aspect because it was one owner that's turning it over to somebody else.
And it's a physical thing.
Exactly. But we probably will get into the days that people will have hard drives full of jazz or blues.
And you can't have it.
And we can't take it. Yeah.
You cannot
take it. It's very interesting.
Until this ruling is turned over by another judge.
Right.
Well, and basically that was the end of his statement, was that the courts haven't decided yet whether a digital song is a physical thing or not. So that's what they have to decide next. Then they'll be able to decide if you can resell it or if you can will it.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Mina Francesco, and you. It is 41 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And let me thank some people. Can you thank Barbara? I don't care. I'm going to thank her again. I like her. Barbara, thank you for your pledge. Howard, thank you for your pledge. Wayne and Sally, bless you and thank you for your pledge. You can join them. You can join David and Barbara and Howard and Wayne and Sally. And all you have to do is make a pledge in any amount. We will take, trust me, we will take any amount. Our job here is to see to it that we end this pledge drive, and we do that by you making the call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Look, we are, this is Jazz 90.1 is the only station in the entire world that brings you sound bites. This is it. You're looking at it. You're listening to it. All you have to do to keep it alive is make that pledge. If you've got a lot of money, send us a lot of money. If you've got a little money, send us a little money. All we're asking is that you join the sound bites family. Help keep this station and this show on the air. We're delighted that you listen every week, but it's time to be a responsible member of the Soundbites family and step up and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you do that, I'll read yet another news item. Google Search is making it more difficult to find iOS applications using typical user queries like WhatsApp, iTunes, WhatsApp, iPhone, or searches by app name, for example. In the past, this would return a page of search results where the iTunes URL would be ranked highly. Today, those links are farther down in Google's results pages. Further? Farther?
Further. Because we take Jazz further.
Right. In WhatsApp's case, the iTunes URL doesn't even appear until close to the bottom of the second page of search results. When logged in while searching for WhatsApp, iTunes, and it's at the bottom of page 3 when you logged out. Yeah, you get different results when you're logged in to Google Plus, for example, or when you're logged out. It's even more difficult to find using WhatsApp iPhone whether you're logged in or not, and this is but one example. The search penalty, or search bug, if that's the case, doesn't seem to affect all apps to the same degree, and the rankings also depend on what search terms are used and whether the user is signed in. For instance, while logged in, a search on Google for Twitter iTunes returns the iTunes URL in spot number 8. Meanwhile, a search for Twitter iPhone returns the iTunes URL in spot number 5. Previously, the iTunes Twitter URL would rank much higher, often in the top one or two positions. The app search results are very inconsistent. Appending iTunes to a search query often appears to be necessary in order to see the iTunes URL return to the top spot, which has long been a trick savvy Google users knew how to use to get the results ranked higher. It's unclear what, if anything, has changed in regard to high-profile examples. One of the things that's going on is Google is changing their algorithms yet again because people keep gaming the system to get higher in the rankings. One of the things they're very hot on right now are what's called author rank. So who you are is more important than what keywords you've used and how many people connect to you and how active your website is. So what they're looking for now, therefore, are authoritative sources. And I guess they don't count hits to, for example, an iTunes account as an authoritative source. Anyway, do you have trouble finding music or apps on iTunes with a Google search? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
A few days later, several people at Search Engine Land and at The Verge were able to get in touch with people at Google. And Google's blaming Apple. Basically, what they think is happening is it was a spam flag error that when Google's search robots were looking in the iTunes database, they were getting 403 errors, forbidden access.
Yep.
And so because they're not getting return results from Apple, it doesn't show up as high on the Google search ranking. So between Google spam filtering and Apple blocking certain IPs that apparently were coming from Google, that they seemed to think that was what the problem was.
Yeah, it's been interesting following, because I have a friend who's very big in the SEO community, and listening to him talk about the way Google has changed their algorithm over the years as people learn to scam the system, and what you have to do to change what you do and things like that. One of the things is when you make changes to your website, a lot of people will do a redirect. For a while, at least, those redirects were ranking lower in Google than a direct connection. And yet, if you use something like WordPress, everything's a redirect. Everything is a redirect. So that's why now AuthorRank, if you are an authoritative source that people link to and look at and talk about, you rank higher in the rankings than someone who doesn't, who isn't followed or whatever, whatever. So also if you have, you'll see now when you do searches, sometimes you'll see a person's picture pop up next to a link. That's an authoritative source. That's someone that Google says is, yeah, here's somebody you should really pay attention to about what you searched for. And that's very highly prized nowadays.
Remember a couple of years ago, there was a guy that figured out that negative searches worked too. He sold, the allegation is he sold counterfeit sunglasses. And he had so many bad customer service reports and complaints about him on the internet that when you search for sunglasses, his company showed up first in the list.
Wow.
Because there were so many links to his company. They were bad reports, but Google didn't differentiate that. And so he was using all that negative publicity to raise his search requirement
up. That's actually kind of funny.
He did get caught, and when a lot of the news blogs started talking about this, there were several magazines that interviewed him, and he wasn't apologetic at all. He said, "That's the way the system works," and I figured out how to do it. And so, like a couple of months ago, he was actually convicted of crimes, and now he's in jail.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm sure they had nothing to do with his page rank.
Yeah. Well, one of the things he did that was scary is he would not, well, the allegations from customers that he would not ship product, so he got the money and then wouldn't bother shipping it,
right?
Or he shipped the wrong thing, or he wouldn't refund money on returns, and there was a testimony from one woman who said that when she demanded, you know, payment, he said, "I know where you live," and sent her a picture of her house.
And wow.
Well, because he went on Google Maps and looked up her address, right? Because he knew her address because he shipped something to her.
Right.
But that will scare someone. I know where you live. I can send you a picture of your house because Google conveniently sends me pictures of everyone's house if I know their address.
Right. It's I don't know. We're finding that. Well, this of course is a problem we've had for a long time. Who do you trust on the internet? Right, eBay tries to have some sort of trust thing going on where you figure out how people like you. You get a rank, you get number of stars, whatever. Book reviewers have numbers of stars, but people game the system there as well because they will have all their friends write reviews of the books.
Or you just create fake accounts yourself,
Fake accounts yourself. So the question becomes, who do you trust? Well, guess what? You can trust us because we are here every single week. Unfortunately, we have to be on the air to do that, and it costs money to be on the air. So how do we stay on the air? Well, we stay on the air because we trust you. We trust you to become members of this station, to become part of the Soundbites family, and to help keep us on the air. And it's a real easy thing to do. Call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes. Believe me, it will be easy. It will be unless you're an incredibly slow typist. It will be easy. It will be fast. It will be convenient, and it will give you a good feeling. Just think about it. Just think about making that pledge, and then that good feeling you get knowing that you've helped keep this show on the air. It's easy to do. It's simple to do. It's fast to do. And we're not asking for a couple of $1,000s, although if you have a couple of $1,000s, send it in.
We'll take it.
But we will take whatever amount you can find it in your hearts to give. And please, don't harden your hearts to this. I know it's tough for everybody everywhere, but we'd love to stay on the air. And the only way that happens is if you make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Do we have time to take a call before the break? It's Dave from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dave?
Thanks for taking my question, Nick.
Sure.
I've had an Android tablet for about 3 years now, ever since the Nook came out.
Yeah.
And now that I bought the Windows 8 tablet.
Yep.
It's phenomenal to me. I'm sorry, you know, I one of them guys that I like to put Ubuntu on my Android devices, but
yep.
I got this new Windows 8 device and I'm in love with it. But
it's
there's
pretty hot.
One issue I have that I'm wondering if maybe I can put it out on the airwaves, some smart programmer will hear it. But the games where you have the game pad on the screen.
Yep.
There isn't one for Windows 8, and I know that you can use like the keyboard, comfort keyboard kind of programs where you can create your own, but it's just not, it doesn't give the joystick, I forget what they're called, the joystick.
Right. Yeah, that's got to come from the programmer, though, mostly. There may be an app for it, but I haven't seen one.
No, there's no app, and I'm hoping somebody writes one.
Well, we've put out the word. Thanks, Dave. And I will tell you, I've played a little bit with the Windows tablet, not enough, but I've played with it a little bit, and I like it. It's fast. It's nice. There's nothing wrong with that product, except, as I've said before, the hidden knowledge. You have to know to swipe left and swipe right and swipe up and swipe down, swipe fast, swipe slow. This corner does this, that corner does that. Once you know that stuff, there's an amazing amount of things you can do with it, but it's all hidden knowledge. And I don't think Microsoft has done a good enough job telling people, showing people all of the features of the tablet. So people look at it and think, this is it? You know?
I did find a program called Virtual Gamepad. It's for Windows Phone to let you use your phone as a gamepad for your computer.
Oh, how cool is that? That's only a buck. I'm sorry, it's 99 cents. Which all of you listening are smart enough to know that 99 cents is really a dollar.
So you're $1.07 because you got to pay tax.
Then you got to pay tax on it, so it's actually $1.07 or $1.08 or whatever it ends up being. But yeah, we have the new Windows 8 tablet is not a bad device, and I have a news item that I might read next about it. They're not selling well, apparently, and we'll talk about that in the next news segment. But because right now we're going to take a break. This is the minute break. All right, we're done with our first hour. For some reason, you've managed to stay awake for an entire hour. We're going to do it all over again on the other side of the hour. So stay tuned for Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nina Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. And you continue to listen to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And the only place you can do that is on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. So while we're on break, make the call. Make the pledge. Help us stay on the air. We'll be back for another hour very shortly.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into our second hour of sound bites.
Have another pledge. I got to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Yay!
We have another pledge came in online, and I have to make sure that he's okay with us thanking him. Okay, want to thank Greg in Temecula, California.
Spell it.
T-E-M-E-C-U-L-A. T-E-M-E-C-U-L-A. Is it Temecula?
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 I don't know. God bless you anyway. We don't actually care where you are. We just want to thank you.
It is Temecula.
It is Temecula.
Southwest Riverside County.
Temecula.
Temecula, California. Bless you. Bless you, Greg. You see that, people? You see what it is? We can't even get this done in New York State. We have to, people in California, all the way out on the left coast, who understand the value of good technical information.
It's an army town. Well, the army and marine. Camp Pendleton is there. Miramar is there.
God bless every single one of those people. Yep. Every single one of them, every day of their lives. Thank you all for keeping me safe, so that I can sleep quietly and comfortably in my bed. That's a beautiful thing. And Greg, thank you for your pledge. You know, he's not the only one who should be making a pledge right now. You should be, too. Let's hear from the rest of California. And let's hear from somebody in New York State. 585-966-CHAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, which I'm sure is how Greg called. No, Greg did it online at jazz901.org. And while you do that, I will read another news item, and we'll talk about Windows RT devices. Prices of Windows RT devices have started falling, signaling an attempt by PC makers to quickly clear out stock after poor adoption of tablets and convertibles with the operating system. Microsoft released Windows RT for ARM-based devices and Windows 8 for Intel-based devices in October last year. The price drop is acknowledging that Windows RT has failed, analysts said. Prices of popular products usually don't fall, but Windows RT devices were not in demand and prices fell, according to analysts. The starting price for Dell's XPS 10 is now $50 off the original launch price. The 64 gig model had a 100% drop from the original price. By comparison, the price of the Latitude 10 tablet with Intel processors and Microsoft's Windows 08 OS remains stable. Asus's Vivo Tab RT with 32 gig of storage, which is largely sold through retailers, is being offered by Amazon.com for a heavy $120 discount from the launch price. Retailers like Best Buy, Staples, and Office Depot have also dropped the price of the tablet by $50. Newegg is listing the Vivo Tab RT as having been discontinued. And there's a whole bunch more of that stuff. Look, Microsoft has not publicly acknowledged the failure of Windows RT. There's already growing concern about the fate of the OS. IDC earlier this month said that Windows RT tablet shipments have been poor, and the consumers have not bought into the Windows RT value proposition. PC and chip makers have acknowledged poor adoption of the operating system. NVIDIA CEO, which I won't try to pronounce, last month said he was disappointed with the poor response to Windows RT, and Acer executives have said that Microsoft needs to improve the usability of RT. And, of course, that's part of what I've been saying. It does a lot. People who own the operating, Dave from Rochester, for example, and I have some of my students who have Windows RT tablets. They love them. The problem is I don't believe Microsoft has done a terrific job. Sorry, I've just covered up the mic for the camera. I don't think Microsoft has done a terrific job in teaching people how good the product actually is. Sure, you've got a bunch of dancing 20-year-olds Rob perks up, dancing 20-year-olds. But a bunch of dancing 20-year-olds who click the laptops, the tablets and their keyboards together and do these synchronized clicking things. And that's great, but that doesn't tell me how good or bad the operating system is. And they've got it on TV shows like Elementary. But again, that doesn't – was it on Elementary or was it somewhere else?
Wi-Fi has always done it. You can always tell when it's a Microsoft product placement because the camera focuses right on the Microsoft logo.
And for like 10 minutes. It's like, yeah. Oh, there you go. But that doesn't tell me, you know, oh, great, if I were a dancing 20-year-old, I would buy one of these. Or if I were Sherlock Holmes, I would buy one of these. But what makes me the average user buy one of these? Well, it's a tad more these days than Sizzle. You got to sell the steak. And I don't honestly think that Microsoft has done a good job of that. Like I said, I looked at the product originally through media, and I was not impressed. And then I put my hands on one, and I was pretty impressed. It's a nice product. I'm still not giving up my Android tablet. Don't get me wrong. But I kind of liked it. It was way better than the commercials led you to believe it would be. Is really what I'm saying.
And there's also so much competition now from Apple and the iPad, and I'm kind of excited about these Google Chromebooks. You know,
I love mine.
$250. It's a web browser. It's a document in the cloud browser. It's pretty much what most people need, and it's pretty cheap.
I love my Chromebook. I take it everywhere. I use it everywhere. I'm not using it here because I'm trying to do so much at once. A $250 computer isn't going to do the 15 things I do at once here.
My poor processors are screaming so bad.
mine is too. This is a dual core, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. On an everyday basis, I use nothing but my Chromebook. I take it with me everywhere. I get an 8-hour battery life out of the thing.
Red is bad, right?
Red is bad. And you've got way too much red there, son. But I use my Chromebook everywhere, every day, for everything. And I don't need more. For $250, for Pete's sake, it's great. And everything lives in the cloud. It works offline. I have created documents offline. I have edited documents offline. I do that regularly. All you have to do is the first time you want to use it, you say, I want to use this offline. And now it's available offline. When I go back online, it automatically uploads it again to my drive space. I get 105 gig of drive space, which is more than I will ever use. It works great, and there's lots of apps and all the other stuff that you want to do, games and everything are on there. I listen to music on it all the time. I do everything on it. It's fine. It's not a problem. And I'm almost never anywhere where I can't get Wi-Fi.
But they do have 3G models available as well.
They have 3G models available. You can tether it to your phone. You can do all the other stuff that people do. And for $250, it makes a great secondary computer. Yep. It even makes a great first computer.
So the problem now is that there's so many choices. You've got smartphones, you know, 3 to 7 inches. And then you've got your 7 and 8 inch tablets. And then you've got Chromebooks.
The 10 inch tablets.
The 11 inch Chromebooks. And then the Windows 8 tablets and the iPads. And then you have real laptops, which the line is blurring. What's a real laptop versus an Ultrabook versus a tablet?
Did you know that Wednesday was the 40th anniversary of the cell phone?
Yes.
Did you know that? And did you see some of the original first models?
Yep.
The guy was saying...
I had one of those big Motorola ones.
The brick phones, yeah. The guy was saying that, you know, it had 20-minute battery life, and that was it. 20-minute. Now people are complaining because their phone doesn't last 3 days.
Exactly.
And every other call was, guess where I'm calling from?
Exactly. You waste 15 of those 20 minutes calling people just saying, I'm standing out on the street making a phone call.
Yeah.
And you were thrilled to be able to do it for 20 minutes.
Well, and they were saying that the guy, I forget which company, he called his competitor from the first phone.
Yeah,
guess what I'm doing.
You know?
And then he got a picture of Bill Gates with one of the first, you know, cell phones that you could, you know, have a little stylus and stuff like that with, it was funny. 40 years ago, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, now you get the earphones and the thing can sit in your pocket.
Yep.
I mean, it gets to the point now where it's hard to know which, as you were saying, which form factor is the most useful to you. But if I can buy
the 0G phone from Mobile Telephone Service, yeah. MTA, in 1947 was the 0G phone.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's a picture from the 30s of a movie, of a short movie, and there's a woman on a cell phone, and everybody's going, oh, it's a time traveler. Well, no, as it turns out, that woman was on a prototype cell phone that didn't work well. It only worked on the grounds. They had special towers for it, yada, yada, yada.
And you could only call other people on the same model or something like that.
Right. But she was testing it, and so she was walking around. Somebody happened to film her. It was not a product that ever made it to market, but the guy who had created it said, yeah, that I know what that is.
That's like Doctor Who in one of the Beatles recording sessions.
Right.
And now Steve... Moffat says he's going to have to film that.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he said that. Yeah, there's a picture of one of the Beatles jam sessions, really, a recording session, and there's a guy who's sitting with his back to the camera and a one-quarter profile, and doggone it if it doesn't look like Matt Smith,
yep.
who is the current doctor. And so, there he is. Yeah, and so they're saying it's the doctor in the. I believe it. Why yeah. wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you believe it? Finding the right form factor. But you know what? The most expensive piece of that. Now, if you don't buy an actual tablet or desktop, the most expensive electronic device you're going to have is your phone. You can get a tablet for $250. You can get a Chromebook, you know, the Nexus 7 for $250. You get a Chromebook for $250. That's a total of $500. And if you actually paid for a phone, it's $600.
We're starting to see, T-Mobile has been the first company, but we're starting to see companies offering more and more phones without contract. And that's been the big thing now. You get your phone for $100, $200 when you commit to a 2-year contract because they know you're going to spend $2,500. Over that time, if you buy your phone outright, it's $600, $700, $800, depending on which one you want.
Well,
and we're also hearing now that with the grandfathered unlimited data plans, that Verizon and AT&T all had unlimited data plans, you know, for a couple of months when phones first came out, and so people are being grandfathered into this because you don't
That's
change
me.
Your plan. So when you go to buy a new phone, you have to pay full price for the phone to keep your grandfathered plan. If you buy a discounted phone, they'll force you on a new plan to charge you more for data.
Well, what I heard is actually one of my students works at the Apple Store and said that, no, you don't have to change your Verizon plan if you go into an Apple Store. I don't know if this is true, but if you go into an Apple Store and buy a phone, let's say the new iPhone 5 is $200, you don't have to change your Verizon plan. Now, again, I don't
know
if this
is... You can buy any phone that works on Verizon's network.
And you don't have to change your plan.
And put it on that...
But if you buy a Verizon phone from Verizon...
And don't pay full price.
Right.
Right.
But how much are those phones going, I wonder, for at the Apple Store?
Well, depending on the hard storage drive configuration, yeah. $100, $200. But, yeah, that's the big question. If you buy it from Verizon, they almost force you into a new plan or pay full price.
Right.
If you buy it from Apple, then you may have to fight with Verizon on the phone to get your unlimited data plan back. We've heard of some people being able, initially when they buy the new phone, they lose the unlimited data and they're able to get it back, but a lot of people haven't been able to get it
back.
Well,
and that's interesting, though, because you can call Verizon, let's say, for example, at any time and switch phones. They don't care. As long as you're not signing a new contract.
But if you want the new phone at a discount, then you have to sign a new 2-year contract.
Through Verizon, though, not through an Apple Store. See, that's the thing.
But if you're on a Verizon plan...
Yeah.
They're still going to say, oh, I'm sorry, this is not covered under your old plan.
Right.
You have to change plans.
To get the discounted phone, even at an Apple Store, you have to sign a new contract.
Okay.
If you're in the middle of your existing contract, you pay full retail.
Okay. Right. Only if you're buying a full retail phone for $600 and up.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I've asked him more than once when he sells the phones. And he's like, nope, you come in at $200 for the phone and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I don't know, something funny about that. Verizon would let that happen.
He's mildly incorrect about that.
Only with a new plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the other thing we've heard about is if your phone is damaged and out of warranty, we have heard that Apple will sell you a replacement phone for the $200. And that doesn't sound right either.
No.
Because they should sell it to you for full price.
Yeah. Apple is not in the habit of generously giving away their product.
Yeah.
But yeah. Listen, you people, the phone is not ringing. We're in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need your help. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Right now, I've got about 90 people that are listening on the Jazz 90.1 web stream. Even if all those folks listening right now were to give $10,
that's all we need.
Jazz901.org, that'd be a heck of a day, and we do very good. And we need those folks to pitch in just as much as we do for the listeners that listen on the air as well.
We're not asking you to mortgage your house.
Right.
All we're asking you to do is to look into your heart and see what this show is worth to you. We're not asking you to give more than you can afford. We're not asking you to give thousands and thousands of dollars. We're asking you to give what you can afford. And it's very facile and very easy to say, I can afford nothing. But that's not true, and you know that's not true. You know it's not true in your heart. So reach into your heart and see what you believe you can afford to give. And make the call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or jazz901.org.
And, of course, people can call into their computer questions as well. We don't want people to be freaked out. It's like, oh, I'm not a member yet, but I want to ask a computer question. Give us a call. Ask your questions, too.
Well, we're happy to take your questions. You don't see what? Think about it. If this show only answered the phone for people who make pledges, who are members, it would be a very different show. We are happy to take your call, whether you're a member or not. But we're hoping that you will be happy to be a member as well. We're going to take a quick break while you make that call, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites on the, and we mean it,
member-supported
Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, I want to thank Lawrence. Actually, we all want to thank Lawrence. From Rochester, who was very generous in making a pledge, Lawrence understands that Jazz 90.1 exists only because members like you, members like Lawrence and Greg and Wayne and Sally and Howard and Barbara and David, step up to the plate and make the pledge. When we say member-supported, we ain't kidding.
You know, it's interesting, too. We are almost 40 years old. This radio station is almost 40 years old. A lot of people are just like, really? I didn't know you existed. I didn't know you were around. Well, it's just like, you know, because we can't afford fancy billboards or newspaper ads or anything to get the word out about the station. We literally rely on people telling people and kind of finding us on the dial. And we still hear from folks all the day. I'm so glad I found you. Found you by accident on the dial. Went down to the left side. Don't usually get on the left side. Usually stay on the right side. And I found you. And so we, you know, tell your friends about Jazz 90.1, not only for the great shows like Sound Bites, but also for the music and the other shows we have too.
Well, and this is something that we often ask computer listeners, Sound Bites listeners, to do for us. We need you to go out there and tell all of your other computer friends about Sound Bites. Many people don't know we're here, and we need you to spread the word. Get the word out there. Tell everybody that Sound Bites is still on the air and that we are here providing lots and lots of computer help and a little bit of insanity in the mix to every week. So, and that's all on you. That's all on you. Spread the word, get people going. Lawrence took advantage of membership, and we would love to have all of you do that. And there are a couple of levels that you can pledge at if you want to get a shirt, a Soundbites T-shirt, or Soundbites jacket, or whatever it is. But we're also happy to have you pledge at any level. any level at all. And of course, if whatever you pledge that isn't the gift is tax deductible.
That is correct. Yeah. Some people may say, you know what, I want to keep the entire donation for my taxes. Don't send me any gifts. We could do that. Or you could say, you know what, that's fine. I'll take a shirt. I'll take a CD. I'll take something along the lines. But no matter what you do, just, you know, give us a call. We can walk you through all the options. It's available online as well. And I was just thinking too, you know, you guys make it so easy to hear the show because not only you're here live and you got a couple of different ways to stream it, but also you've got the archives. You've got our app, which we archive all the shows in the Jazz 90.1 app as well. And there's so many different ways to catch sound bites. And I hear from people all over the U.S. in places in other parts of the world, too, that say, you know what, I put it on my iPod, listen to sound bites during the week on the way driving in or driving home from work, and we make it easy. But the only way that we could do that is with your help.
And all it takes is a quick phone call. Simple, easy to do, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like Dennis did from Rochester, New York. Thank you very, very much, Dennis. And you can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And all you have to do is take just... It takes less than 2 minutes unless you're a very slow typist, and we'll get you if you call in, we'll get that pledge put in, and if you do it online, it's automatic. And all we need you to do is make that call or click on that link, because as I keep saying, the only way we stay on the air is when you make the call. And those of you listening to the podcasts every week, there are hundreds and hundreds of you. If each of you just sent in 10 American dollars, I'm talking to you, all the people in Germany and all the people in France and all the people in Italy and all the people in Sweden and all the people and everywhere else that listens to us. If you just sent in 10 American dollars, get on jazz901.org and make the pledge. This pledge drive would long, long be over. And all it takes is you. All it takes is you to make the call or click on the link, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-8, we'll even pay for the phone call, 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
I've been playing online with iPhone numbers and data plans and whatnot. An AT&T plan with 50 gigs of data per month, $530 per month to get 50 gigs of data.
Nice.
Verizon is $400 a month for 50 gigs of data. Sprint is $100 a month for unlimited data.
So yeah, but is it really unlimited or are they throttling?
Right. Where do they throttle? And Sprint is the sort of smaller of the companies and with less coverage than the other two. But if you have good Sprint where you're at, then Sprint tends to be a little cheaper, it looks like.
T-Mobile says they're unlimited now, though.
Yeah. So it's, you know, how they define limits. So here we go. The fine print at the bottom. I gotta make my browser bigger.
Yeah. When they say fine print, they ain't kidding.
They really mean fine print, yeah. Oh, actually, that was the Samsung Apple trial in England, where the judge ordered Apple to put an apology on their website, and so Apple made a really snarky apology. You know, the judge said Samsung wasn't cool enough to copy us, and the judge got mad.
Yeah,
because they do that in England, and so then the judge basically ordered Apple to put a real apology in Arial 14-point. On the front page of their website. Those judges in the UK.
Peter Cook and Dudley Moore were a comedy duo in England many years ago. And they did a couple of albums at the drop of a hat, at the drop of another hat, Beyond the Fringe, blah, 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 blah. And in one of their routines, one of them says, and in England, if a judge says you are hereby sentenced to, that judgment stands.
Yeah.
All right, we're is this a
a call? Is that what that is? You just threw it over here? It's a call? That's how that works? All right. Our next caller is Pat from Greece. Welcome, Pat. What's your question?
Actually, did you guys see what Don King posted on their page?
What?
Ben Lucifer put the spreadsheet, if they had the iPhone on King, it'd be like only like six, because they're the no BS carrier. I love that carrier.
Which carrier is this?
King, T-I-N-G, from Two Cows.
Never heard of them yet.
Yeah, they've been one of the sponsors of the Twit Network, and they're no BS. I've spent probably close to $80 a month on my phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will look into that.
Two Cows is a well-known brand?
Yeah, it's from the guys who do Hover.
From our computer, yeah. They're in Canada. I remember once someone was trying to trace where a message came from, and the registrar was Two Cows, and so we went to an office, and it was in Toronto. Well, yes,
yeah.
It's a fine company.
It really is.
But yeah. They posted a spreadsheet this morning showing if it was on Ting, it would be like probably only $6 for that phone.
Interesting. All right, thanks. Appreciate that. What a great thing. That's a good thing to know.
We have heard some of the smaller carriers will often offer cheaper plans, but then you end up having to pay full price for the phone.
Well, and the problem is, what is their coverage rate?
Right.
You know, one of the things that Verizon boasts is the best coverage. AT&T boasts the same. T-Mobile boasts the same.
And what's interesting
Sprint boasts the same.
You have to look at the wording.
Right.
Because one of them says we have the most LTE coverage, and one of them says we have the most cellular coverage.
And the other one says we have the fastest LTE coverage.
Right, and they're all right in exactly what they claim.
Right, right. But that's the kind of information you don't get anywhere else, but you get it here. You get it here on Soundbites. Keep that information coming. 585-9. I'm hitting it today. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And help us keep this information coming to you. Listen, this just benefits you. It's all about you. It's a very selfish thing to do. To make that pledge, very selfish thing to do, because it keeps Soundbites coming every week, keeps the information coming to you every week. It's really just to your benefit to do this. So make the call now. Be an enlightened, self-interested person. Enlightened self-interest is the way to go, and the way to keep this information coming to you is to make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And in the meantime, I will read yet another news item. Unofficial Apple spokesrobot John Gruber has written a short post on Daring Fireball, suggesting that iOS 7 is running well behind schedule, and that as a result, Apple is hauling manpower from its OS 10 development team. iOS 7 would typically be ready for the Worldwide Developers Conference, which is now just months away. Gruber explains, what I've heard, iOS 7 is running behind, and engineers have been pulled from OS 10, 10.9. This is the most clumsy way of, who are these people at Apple?
That's why we usually just say mountain lion or... So, well, now the big debate is what cat's going to be next. And cougar and lynx seem to be the running favorites.
Okay. but engineers have been pulled from OS 10, 10.9 to work on it. If that's true, it wouldn't be the first time Apple's had to transfer devs to work on iOS rather than OS 10. Back in 2007, Mac OS 10, 10.5 Leopard, left elbow J, was delayed by 4 months to ensure that the iPhone project was ready on time. With plenty of rumors suggesting that Jonathan Ive is keen to make iOS fresher and flatter, it's certainly certainly believable that the development of iOS 7 could take longer than expected. So, which is more important to you, a new iOS for your iPad or a new OS 10 for your Mac? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
There were a lot of, well, probably all started with Gruber, but a lot of the blogs picked up this story. And it always makes me feel I don't know. You'd think Apple would have enough engineers to do both.
Well, even though
there's a lot of mix of code between them.
Right.
But you think they'd have enough engineers to do both. And they've done this in the past. They've taken engineers off one project to put onto another one. But and they've almost set themselves up for delays or even failures now with yearly releases. Every year there's a new iOS and every year there's a new macOS.
Yep.
And can they keep up with that? So they want to. In the past, both Apple and Microsoft have typically had 3 or 4 years between major OS releases.
Right.
And it's typically been $100, $200 for those prices.
Right.
So what Apple's done in the last couple of years, and we think forced Microsoft to follow suit, is a smaller release every year for $20-$30.
Right.
And that way the new features get to the users a lot faster. But that's a lot more pressure on them to get the coding done.
Yep.
Wanted to just mention, John called in and didn't want to be put on the air, and he said, thank you so much to you guys for everything you do. He's already re-upped his membership, and he said, he appreciates, not only sound bites, but also all the other things we do on the jazz side of things, too. He's a big jazz fan, and he just wanted to call and say some nice words about you guys and the show, and we appreciate hearing that kind of stuff. It's great.
Let me tell you something. There's a close correlation between programming and music.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, when the United States government needed people to program all their computers during the Second World War, where did they get those programmers? They took them from the United States Air Force and Army bands.
Really?
That's exactly the truth. They took those people from them because they had the same mindset. Programmers and musicians have the same mindset. I know a lot of programmers who listen to jazz, and I don't know why they're not calling in to make that pledge. I know if you're a programmer, you have an affinity for music of all sorts, but certainly for jazz, because there's a direct correlation between the kind of stuff that goes on in jazz, the improvisation and the connection
with programming.
With programming. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And so this is really the perfect station.
Well, and again, we want to thank everybody that's pledged so far. Folks who did it, especially way back in the beginning, and recently they're having to listen to us continue to ask, and we thank everybody that's done their part so far in becoming a member, renewing their membership, giving additional gifts. I mean, we've got folks that are calling in saying, you know what, we really want to push you guys towards that finish line. I'm going to give you a little bit more, and we want to thank them and everybody that's pledged so far.
And we want to thank Gene. Gene from Rochester.
Thank you.
Yay, Gene. Very generous. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You've still got about 20 minutes or so to call in with your pledges of support for Sound Bites. You can do it. We've got volunteers standing by. Marie is in there, ready to take your phone calls. 966-JAZZ, 966-5299.
Of course, you can also pledge securely online because you're a computer geek at jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes, particularly if you're a quick typist, and we need you to make that call because we really want to bring you this kind of stuff every week.
Well, I think the good news is that this program today has gotten us under the $15,000 mark. So we're in the 14s. Want to thank everybody for, and that's the way we look at it. Some public radio stations, they make $30,000 in a day. I'd love to be able to do that. But what we do is we just say, okay, we're just going to chip it away bit by bit by bit until we reach that goal of $50,000. And that's what we're doing. So we want to thank everybody that has pledged so far.
So everybody, thank you so much. This week it's been David and Barbara and Howard and Wayne and Sally and Greg and Lawrence and Dennis and Gene, and we want to thank you all. We'll add that to the other people that could read the entire list, but I won't. And we want to thank you. We are delighted. We're going to take a quick break, so you have plenty of time to make that call or click that link. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We continue to be the longest-running computer show in the known universe on the truly great, and we ain't kidding, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Do you want to take Jazz 90.1 with you everywhere you go? Don't worry, we've got an app for that.
Sorry, grooving to the music. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour. I want to thank our friend Dar, friend of the show.
Dar, yes.
Dar, who has made a very generous pledge. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. She listens regularly and is often on the air with us. But
In Canada. Which part of, do you know which part of Canada?
Whitby, Ontario.
Where is that?
Near Toronto.
Okay. Just take a left.
We just say Toronto. We just say Toronto, but she's actually in Whitby. Whitby.
Does she catch the skip across the water, or does she listen to us online?
I do not know. Maybe she will call in and tell us.
She should.
It doesn't matter whether you're listening to us over the air or whether you're listening to us online or you're listening to the Ustream or you're listening on the Hangout. The reality is, we try to come to you in as many ways as humanly possible, but the only way we can do that is through your support. We are member supported, and by that we mean you the members, not anybody else. We don't get government money. We don't get state money. We don't get county money. We don't get city money. We don't get town money. We don't get school money. We don't get any money except from you. You are the people who give us the money, and the way we keep this show on the air and the way we keep this entire dang station on the air is by you making the call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And it's you folks who make this all a possibility, and we are very appreciative of the fact that you do that. I will tell you this right now. And we're going to talk. Here's a coincidence. What an incredible coincidence. It's our friend Dar from Whitby, Ontario. Welcome, Dar.
Howdy.
How are you?
Okay, you guys?
Yeah, we're great, and thank you so much for your pledge.
It's a pittance because the guys, the trainers at Marineland need the bucks.
No, I get that. I absolutely get that. And it's not a pittance. Every dollar helps, and we appreciate it very, very much.
Remember the PDF readers that were talking about a month ago or something?
Yeah.
Forgot about events.
Oh, of course we did. And that's the one I use every day. You're absolutely right. Events is a PDF reader that comes standard on many Linux distributions, but is available all over the place. And it's a very good one, very fast, and very secure.
Well, very basic, but what more do you need?
Yeah. Well, exactly right.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that PDF has become a vector for the bad guys. And Adobe has to update their readers so often that a lot of people are using non-Adobe readers just to cut down on some of the extra crap. PDFs can have live link URLs in them. PDFs can have JavaScript in them. We don't need any of that. It's just a document viewer. That's what we wanted.
And, Dar, we had a question. Are you listening through the skip over the water, or are you listening through the web?
Online, sir.
Ah, there you go. You're listening online. Very cool.
Anyhow.
Yeah, Vince is it. Thank you so much.
Oh, another thing?
Yes.
Look up the miracle of magnesium.
Okay, I will.
Okay, been bugging and wanting to tell you guys this. There is not one disease that magnesium doesn't help. 800 different things in the body require magnesium.
I will look that up. Thanks.
Great. Cheers.
Thanks. The only thing I've ever used magnesium for is creating thermite, but it's
wonderful.
It's actually not a joke. We used to do that, but I'm delighted to look it up for health reasons as well, and I will definitely do that. Our next caller is George from Greece, New York. Welcome, George. What's
Hi,
up?
Fellas. I have a question for you.
Yep.
Is there an instrument available that would make the make measurements of Wi-Fi signal strength?
There's lots of them. They're generally called Wi-Fi finders. You can even get apps for your smartphone to do the same thing, and little key fobs, too.
Yes.
Some of the more simple ones just light up when there's Wi-Fi available, some of the bigger ones will actually give you signal strength and recordings.
And what price range would those be in?
Free to more.
But if you're looking for apps for a phone, most of those are free. If you're looking for a device, they're in the $20 to $40 range generally. But if you're looking for a T-shirt, it's $30 at ThinkGeek.
Yeah, the ThinkGeek has some cool T-shirts. A Wi-Fi finder with a little meter that shows you how strong the Wi-Fi signal is around you.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's okay. Actually a T-shirt with the Wi-Fi finder on the chest.
Yes.
$30.
Okay.
You can, if like I said, if you've got a smartphone, you can get free apps everywhere.
So if I want a separate instrument. Would I buy that at a computer store or electronic store?
The last one I bought was at a home appliance carpentry type store.
Okay.
I'll just say that as opposed to name. Well, there's only one left, so I suppose.
There's two.
There's two. So, but it was the sort of place you could buy everything from lawnmowers to tools to all kinds of other stuff. I went in to buy.
There's a key fob from iOGear for $6 on Amazon.
Yeah, and does it show the strength? Or
there's a bunch of little dots. Yeah.
Yeah. So I happened to be in there actually because I needed an emergency roll of Ethernet cable, and hanging right in front of it was a Wi-Fi detector, which so I picked one up. It was only a few bucks, and it was pretty nice. But you can get them online. You can get them everywhere. ThinkGeek. What's the other one? Newegg.
So aside from the detector, a Wi-Fi strength measure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. They're called Wi-Fi finders. Generally.
Wi-Fi finder.
Yep.
Thanks very much.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of the war drivers use them. They'll be driving around measuring signal strength of access points, and then do they still put marks on the walls?
Yes.
They're still doing that? Yep.
Yes, they do. The guy who started that was one of my minions at RIT.
Oh, nice.
Started wardriving.com, as a matter of fact, and pretty cool stuff. And, of course, you can get apps not only for your smartphone but also for your computer, your tablet, your whatever.
All you need is a Wi-Fi device that looks for Wi-Fi, and pretty much that does it anyway. I use one on the computer called iStumbler because it can also log what you're getting.
Yep. But there's a lot of those all over the place, so easy enough to find, easy enough to get. So. Before we go, I do want to remind everyone, Microsoft is reminding its customers running Office for Mac 2008. The support for that suite ends next Tuesday. Support for Office Mac 2008 will end April 9th, 2013, according to Microsoft's Mac Business Unit, the firm's OS X development arm. They said that in a post on the team's blog on Thursday. According to the company support lifecycle site, all versions of the 2008 suite will be retired next week. Office for Mac 2008 launched in January 15th, 2008, or about 5 years and 3 months ago. Even the Mac suite that's clearly business-oriented, Office 2008 for Mac Business Edition, will also lose its support. Office for Mac 2008 will not suddenly stop working, of course. It will launch. You can create and edit and print documents, do all that stuff, and save them and all of that. But it will not be served with security updates after April 9th. For some reason, Microsoft considers all editions of Office for Windows as business products, no matter that some, like Home and Student, cannot be used for commercial purposes, at the same time that it categorizes all editions of Office on OS X as consumer products, whether you use them in a business or not.
Yeah, the Office Pro, which is typically what you'd use in a business, they don't make for Mac.
Right.
So everyone just uses Office Home and Business.
Right. Apple recommends the customers running Office for Mac 2004 or 8 or whatever it is migrate to Office 365, which is the line of subscription plans that let users install Office for Mac Home and Business 2011 on up to 5 Macs. The consumer subscription plan, Office 365 Home Premium, costs $100 a year. They also can opt for perpetual license of Office for Mac 2011. That's only $140 for home use. and $220 for business use. But you can't upgrade that. And so that one falls off the support list in just 2 years. So that may not be a good deal.
We do still have a few of the three packs of Office 2011 left, which are $150. So Microsoft's pricing has been rather annoying in the Mac world. The one-user license was $120, and the three-user license was $150. Now the one-user license is $140. They've canceled the three-user license, and you have to go to subscription service for the five-user license. So it is a decent deal, $100 a year for five users, but you have to pay every year, and when you stop paying, your software quits working.
And any files you've saved on the web, you can't get at anymore.
Right. So most regular folk want to have a boxed software with them. So we'll have to see what happens, because Microsoft did announce Office 2013 for Windows, so we're expecting an Office 2014 for Mac in a retail package.
Right.
The annoying thing now is that Microsoft's retail package has no disk in it. It's just a little tiny box with a license code.
Right.
And you still have to download the program yourself.
Right. Well, they're all doing that nowadays.
Yep.
Personally, I use LibreOffice or NeoOffice, as it's called on the Mac. It does everything I want it to do, and it's free. Nowadays, of course, I'm mostly using Google Docs, which is also free. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I particularly want to thank David and Barbara and Howard and Wayne and Sally and Greg and Lawrence and Dennis and Jean and Dar. For your generous donations to keep this station and this show on the air. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on the truly great,
member-supported
Jazz 90.1. George is coming in. We'll see you next week.